Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, May the 11th. If you don't watch TV at all, I hope you aren't going to be bored with this hour because we're going to be talking about trends in watching TV and why network executives are wringing their hands these days. Because apparently, if you do watch some TV, you're not watching it as much. Or maybe you're watching your favorite shows on DVD when you feel like it, not when the show is scheduled on ABC, CBS, NBC, or Fox. This has been the worst spring in recent history, according to a recent Associated Press news report, which said a startling number of Americans drifted away from their television in the past 2 months. More than 2.5 million fewer people were watching the networks than at the same time last year. We'll wonder why, and we'll wonder if you are among those who are abandoning the TV, at least live TV. And we will talk about what this means for the future, for you and for the networks, as we welcome in our guest, Tim Kaprisin, media columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. 1-800-642-1234, our toll-free number. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org. Talk at WPR.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Are you watching TV these days? What shows are your favorites? What shows do you think have really gone downhill? Are you taping or recording and watching later at a different time, or are you not watching at all? We welcome your questions and comments for our guest. Tim Kaprisin joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So 2.5 million viewers have abandoned TV just in the past 2 months. Is that surprising to
you? Well, what that is is the a comparison of this spring's numbers with spring of 2006.
Yeah, but that's a big drop, isn't it?
Well, if it's indeed a drop, or if it's we don't know. It may be a restructuring of how people watch TV. One of the things that has changed how people watch people who watch network TV, how they watch it, is the growth of the digital video recorder that a lot of people get through their cable systems or through a satellite system. TiVo is the subscription version, the commercial version, but cable companies have their own, and it allows you to shift the time when you watch something. It's like a VCR, except there's no tape. It's a hard drive in your cable box. And Nielsen has only just now started to measure that viewership. And the biggest issue here is not even necessarily that these 2.5 million people disappeared. It's that they're now setting their own TV schedules.
Yeah.
And the issue that's important to the networks is how does this affect advertising?
Yeah, because the advertiser may not be as willing to dish out big bucks for the live TV show.
Because the audience is diffused, and because on the DVR, you can fast forward over the commercials and don't even have to watch them.
Right. So, what does that mean? Network executives should be wringing their hands, right?
Well, they should be strategizing, which I know they are, as to how to capture those eyeballs that are using the DVRs for the advertisers, and the advertising industry is doing the same thing. They're trying to create ads that you'll see as you fast forward over them, and get the impact of what they're trying to sell. So one of the things that I dispute is the wringing their hands. I don't think this is a shock. Anybody who's followed any sort of media over the last 10 years has seen the diffusion of media consumption across many, many platforms.
Mm-hmm.
The internet is the big example, but you know, radio has changed, TV has changed, radio has changed because you've got satellite radio and internet radio now, and podcasting, which didn't exist a few years ago, and television is changing in the same way. There are many different ways for people to get their entertainment from television.
Yeah, do we know, though, that these 2.5 million people are TiVoing?
No, that's the point, is we don't know where they went. We don't know if they've turned off TV, which seems doubtful. I don't see any trends that people are watching less TV. We don't know yet that they've gone to cable. There's been no huge bump. As a matter of fact, one of the bigger cable shows, which is now in its final run, The Sopranos, has had a decrease in its viewership by a couple million, and with a specific show, you can make some, you can speculate a little bit better in a little bit more informed way. You know, with The Sopranos, I think there are people who are tired of The Sopranos. It's lived too long. A lot of people didn't like the previous season. They thought it was too slow, and they drifted away. It's been a long time since the show has had a new episode, and habits, you know, TV is a habit like anything else. So, but there's even a question mark in The Sopranos. In addition to DVRs, which allow people to record their own shows, cable television and satellite is offering on-demand video, mm-hmm. which allows you, for example, you could wait, in most cases, until the Sopranos season is over, and well before the DVD set comes out, and watch it on demand. Watch one episode after the other on your own TV, start and stop the video when you want. That on-demand video isn't measured at all yet.
Yeah. Well, I'm a dinosaur, and I still have the VCR.
And you're the one.
Yeah. But I don't do a lot of recording. I only record one show that my husband wanted me to record. He wanted 24, and he started watching it. Now he's saying, this is boring. This isn't any, you know, he doesn't really like it anymore. So we're even, you know, giving up on that. So that boring factor has got to factor into this.
Well, and that, I mean, as I said with The Sopranos, you can make those kinds of analyses on a specific show. But there is one thing that the networks did this year, which I think, which has already come back to haunt them in terms of their ratings on specific shows, but may fit into this whole erosion of viewership. One of the things they did, this was a season where there were a lot of serial dramas. And a lot of those new serial dramas didn't survive. Some of the older ones, like 24 or on ABC Lost, already have a loyal audience base. But there were some shows that were started last fall. The networks decided, sort of, it seems independently, because ABC, NBC, and CBS did this. I think Fox did it with one or two shows too. At the end of the beginning of the winter, end of the fall, the shows went on hiatus for a couple months, and then came back in February, which is a key ratings period. February is one of the important months, so there was in some cases, a 2-month lag between new episodes of the show. Mm. And when the shows came back, and when it was Lost on ABC, it was Heroes, which was a big show on NBC, which was a new show. There was a show on CBS called Jericho about a town in Kansas that was cut off by some sort of nuclear attacks. These shows needed, as I said, they were serial dramas, but when they came back, they had substantially smaller audiences. Jericho has never recovered. Heroes is down, and it was the drama of the year. So they made a technical or a strategic decision to run reruns or other programming for 2 months, and then when the shows came back, the audience wasn't there.
We're going to check the weather forecast and then talk more TV with Tim Caprison. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 19 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, May the 11th. Hope you stay tuned. It's At Issue with Ben Marins this afternoon between 4 and 6. And it's your views on the news after 4. What news story got your attention this week? Ben will be talking this week with Dick Haven from UW-Whitewater to get his take on the news as well. That's coming up this afternoon after 4 o'clock. We're talking with Tim Caprison, media columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about the news this week that network television viewership plunges by 2.5 million people this spring compared to last spring. And we're wondering why this is and what it all means, and wondering if this is you. Are you not watching your favorite shows as much anymore, or are you watching them in a different way? Are you recording and watching at your convenience, or doing the on-demand thing, or maybe even getting the DVD of the whole season so you can watch it like that? How are your TV viewing habits changing, and what's your theory as to this decline in audience for the TV networks? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. We have Mike in Eau Claire with us first. Hi, Mike, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'd just like to say that, first of all, I watch less because I think the programming is rather pathetic. I don't like what's on. I always watch the news. I listen to National Public Radio more than I watch TV, and I don't have a DVD recorder or TiVo, so I just watch less. I read the newspaper more and kind of close TV out, except for a very few network programs and a couple of cable things.
Yeah, well, what network shows are you still watching, Mike?
My wife and I watch Desperate Housewives. We got hooked on that. But I did dislike the fact that they ran reruns a long time. In fact, it causes me to lose interest.
Mm-hmm.
Really, there isn't much else other than ABC or NBC News that I watch regularly.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about the news ratings, too, Tim, but the reruns, apparently, even with Desperate Housewives, is that hiatus thing you're talking about?
Well, this is actually sort of an interesting kind of urban legend that I deal with constantly from readers who think that there are more reruns than there have been in the past. For many years, I've been doing the column for almost 13 years, the average number of episodes of a season are 22. Back in the 60s, it was 26 or 33, but really for the last 15, 20 years, most shows have had 22 episodes a year. Well, they still do. In a serial drama, and Desperate Housewives is sort of a serial dramedy, more a comedy than drama, they tend to not run that many reruns. They may repeat shows several times during a week to get more viewers, kind of the way cable does it, but they have fewer reruns than really they used to. There used to be a rerun season, which doesn't exist in the same way anymore. But people somehow, for some reason, have got this notion that there are more reruns. I find that interesting. It's just not the fact. But it may be the way programming is presented that people have acquired this perception, and the hiatus is obviously part of it.
Yeah, I'm one of those viewers. I do watch very little primetime TV because I'm sleeping. So it's not that I hate it all. It's just that I'm in bed. But I always have that happen to me where I might see a big hit show once when I'm on vacation, and I'll always see the repeat of it.
Right.
It's like I always get the rerun. The only time.
Well, it's like when you wash your car,
yeah.
You know it's going to rain.
Right.
I mean, there's some. I don't know how to study that to see whether it's true or not. But that obviously is the perception, and the caller has that perception too, that there are more reruns. I don't really know specific. I really can't say where that comes from. But my guess is it's because your show's not there every week. The other thing about networks, and this has happened in the last probably 7 or 8 years, probably since around 2000 when Survivor and before that Who Wants to Be a Millionaire became big programming things. The networks changed their schedules at the last minute now. We have a TV section in the newspaper that comes out every Sunday, and I think it's updated as of the previous Wednesday or Thursday. It's a couple days before it comes out. Well, there are a lot of errors in that aren't our fault. It's because the networks changed them, and I'll try in my column, in the daily column, I'll try to update if there's some big programming change. But even in a column that's written the night before, it's sometimes inaccurate because the networks are scheduling strategically. They'll see that ABC will see that CBS is doing something, and they'll pull a show and put something else on, and that hurts your attempt to build sort of ritual viewers, which is what you need. You need people watching all the time. You have to have a consistent viewership, and because of the strategic programming and scheduling, they're losing people as regular viewers.
Now, Leo Duran, my producer, who is a Lost fan, says that he's getting fed up with Lost to some extent because they have these, I don't know, years-long plots. You know, it's like you have to be watching years and years and years before a storyline concludes on that, and nothing is ever solved.
Well, I mean that's also been a chronic problem in television shows. Again, this is when I use the term serial drama, that's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are shows like Law and Order where they're self-contained episodes.
Yeah, is that why that's so popular?
Because it's easy to watch,
mm-hmm.
and it and this is obviously something that goes into the minds of the networks when they're buying shows. it used to be almost all shows were self-contained. There were very few serial dramas. You know, think back to the 60s, you had The Fugitive, which was not even a serial drama, but it's as close as we came in those days. It was, you know, a series of self-contained stories that was an arching story of a guy on the lam trying to find the killer of his wife. Yeah. But these days, these are, you know, shows where you have to watch, and there's so many characters. Lost, I didn't understand Lost when it premiered a couple years ago because it had so many sub-characters and just a long list of it's hard to watch.
Yeah. Leo reports too that those hiatuses are going to go away, at least for Lost.
Well, yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. And that's one the network has ABC has decided to deal with that problem. And they've done it in this is kind of an interesting way. They've announced that they're going to pick up the show for 3 more seasons. And in each of those seasons, there'll be 16 episodes, which, as I said, 22 is the mm-hmm. norm. So it'll be 3 16-episode seasons, and they'll run those back-to-back. There'll be no hiatus. Mm-hmm. There'll be no reruns. You know, Lost does things like if they take a break, they'll have a show, which is a sort of a show of clips to sort of keep you updated, which hasn't obviously worked this time.
Let me get another caller in before news time. Steve in Rice Lake. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, great topic.
Thanks.
Hey, the reason I don't watch as much TV is because I think they kind of went away from the family shows. I can remember I'm a child of the 70s, and I remember, you know, you had like Mutual of Omaha, Wild Kingdom, and, you know, The Wonderful World of Disney. And they're kind of coming back a little bit, you know, like my kids will watch like Dancing with the Stars. You know, that's just mm-hmm. family time programming. But the other thing is like news, like NBC Nightly News or CBS, you don't need to watch it anymore because you go up on your satellite dish to headline news. You can get it anytime you want.
Yeah.
And so I find that a lot is happening. And you're absolutely right with like Law and Order. What's nice about that show is they always have that rip from the headlines thing. So you're following something in the newspaper one month and sure enough, a month later, they've got it on, you know, something similar to it on Law and Order. So that's kind of neat, too. So,
yeah, Steve, thanks for the call. Let's save the news discussion for after the news, because I wanted to talk to you about poor Katie Couric in the latest ratings as well. Not good news for her.
No, it's not.
But what about, Dancing with the Stars and the Family Fair?
I mean, we could have a whole show on what the future of the networks is, and a show like Dancing with the Stars, or more currently, American Idol and shows like that. Those, in some ways, are the model for the future of the networks. They're event television. You know, they're building up to a conclusion that brings in a huge audience, that people talk about the next day. I mean, American Idol, a lot of people who didn't even watch American Idol knew who Sanjaya Malakar, mm-hmm. one of the contestants, who he was. Well, that harkens back to the old days when people would talk about TV the next day. And people talk about it and, you know, they hate it. They think it's stupid. They think it's this. Well, the networks don't care if you hate it. If you're watching it and talking about it, then people are being brought to it. And there's talk that there's an attempt to find more of that kind of television. And, you know, we do it in sort of national or one-shot things every year, like the Super Bowl or the Oscars or the Emmys, shows like that that bring in a larger-than-normal audience. And TV is looking, network TV is looking for ways to do that as much as they can, to bring in large groups of people, not so much in the sort of traditional programming. And the caller is absolutely right. The shows like Dancing with the Stars and American Idol are the modern version of family television. People watch it as a family, which is not how most television is watched these days.
We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with Tim Kaprisin, media columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about the worst spring in TV ratings in recent history. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 6:36 on this Friday, May the 11th. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you along on the Ideas Network. The Nielsen ratings that measure TV viewership show that primetime viewing for the biggest 4 broadcast networks is down, way down, by about 2.5 million viewers this spring compared to last spring. We are talking about why this is, the theories as to why this is, and welcoming your thoughts and questions about it, wondering if you are watching fewer TV shows these days, or maybe you're recording those TV shows and watching them when you want to. Why do you think TV viewing is down. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. We're talking with Tim Caprison, media columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And Tim, the Associated Press article that we saw that talked about this does mention that American Idol on Fox and Dancing with the Stars on ABC are doing the most to prop up the industry. But I've even seen some analysis of American Idol in particular talking about that this is the most boring season ever for that particular show.
Well, I would agree with that. Mm. And one of the measures of that, because that's obviously a subjective analysis. Mm-hmm. A measure of the boringness of American Idol is that it's losing its youngest viewers. And in American Idol, that's crucial. I mean, teenage girls are the ones who are basically mm-hmm. propping up network TV, and they've lost a couple million of them, which is the first sign of a show aging. The younger viewers leave first because they're less habitual viewers, and their attention spans are short, and they're looking for the next thing to watch or do. So, although it's a huge thing, Dancing with the Stars is also a show that I have not seen demographic numbers, but my guess is that show is going to relatively quickly take a dive because its audience is very old, and television doesn't like old audiences.
I have seen, though, on different channels, like I think the Bravo channel, they have reality shows with the best chef,
right,
or the best hairstylist. I mean, they're just one after another on the. So that reality stuff is going to be around for a while.
It's here to stay. It's cheap. Mm-hmm. It makes money. It generally has a shorter shelf life. The successful ones generally have a shorter shelf life. You know, Survivor's now been on for years. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what number we're on in the installments, and that's had a dramatic drop. It's not a top 10 show anymore. I mean, basically, it's the same show every. Twice a year, they run two installments. Fox, by the way, has been brilliant with American Idol in that they run it only half a season. It's not a full season show. And so you could build up anticipation each year. And they're very smart in capitalizing on losers like Sanjaya Malakar, who, you know, that kind of stuff brings in viewers. They're very, very smart at marketing that show.
Yeah. Our caller before news time did talk about a little bit about how he still watches the news from time to time. But the latest ratings for the network news is what I think ABC is in first place, NBC second place, and Katie Couric is in really bad place here. The worst ratings since 1987.
Right. The numbers right now. This was the most recent week. Last week, ABC had 8.1 million viewers. NBC had 7.5 million viewers, and CBS had just around 6 million viewers, which is their worst numbers in 20 years. However, there's some numbers within that that are even just as devastating to another network. Hmm. NBC, Brian Williams, had their lowest ratings in the 25 to 54 demographic in 20 years as well.
Oh.
And 25-54 is what everybody is, I mean, that's the sort of target number that everybody's shooting for, especially with the newscasts. And so NBC's in trouble. ABC's up. Fact is that for many years, the network newscasts have been dropping for the simple reason that they're not necessary anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're tripping over news all over the place. Obviously, with the all news channels, you can see it any time. And so there's a structural problem in those newscasts that ultimately they're going to fade. One of the networks is going to end up dropping a newscast. Now, the Katie Couric situation, you know, that was a huge and expensive gamble by CBS, and I don't know how they can get out of this without completely losing face.
Well, I think I was watching, I think it was Fox News Watch, and everybody on that show is predicting that she's out of there. I mean, the CBS will continue to pay the big bucks for the contract, but she won't be on the air probably within this year.
Well, I think she started the day after Labor Day of last year. I can't imagine they'll pull her before she's there for a year.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a number of attempts to tinker with the show, executive producers, they're changing the style, they're dropping features that didn't work. I think it was an interesting gamble. I thought from the start that the goal here, the target of, or the reason that she was thought to be a viewer magnet, was that she has a track record. She was very successful on the Today Show. And the Today Show audience at NBC and all the morning show audiences tends to be more heavily female than sort of old-fashioned news audiences. That's why they have features that are targeted at female viewers. And there's a large number of female viewers during the day who are not traditional news viewers. They're the Oprah viewers. And the thought was that those people could become new, sort of a new influx of news viewers, if you had someone who they could, you know, that appealed to them, and that Katie was that person. Well, obviously, it hasn't worked.
Yeah. Back to the phones, Noel in Arlington. Hi, you're on. I'm sorry, Alan Allington, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm one of those 2.whatever million people that have really dropped off the radar. If I watch television just for the news or, you know, a garden channel or something like that, the big issue I have is that everything's structured around, even the dialogue that you've had since the news is about the lives of other people. You know, I don't want to go out there and I don't want to sit in front of the TV and live vicariously through someone else. And that's what these shows are structured as. And it's just not what I want to do. I want to go out and live life myself and not through someone else. I'm the tail end of the boomers, and, you know, I'm concerned about my health and the future, and I just want to be around, and I think sitting in front of the television watching shows is counterproductive.
Yeah, no entertainment shows whatsoever, Noel?
Occasionally, but it's to stretch out and just say, you know, I'm done, and, you know, I relax.
Yeah.
I've done everything else, you know, it's...
Yeah, we don't know, Tim Kaprisen, if there are a lot of these 2.5 million people are people like Noel who have just decided it's just a waste of time.
I wish that we could say that these 2.5 million people are out doing productive things. I don't think so.
Yeah, you think they're TiVoing.
I think they're TiVoing. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think they're watching TV in other ways. But I think Neil is absolutely right in that these shows are designed as an escape. All of network television since The Lone Ranger was on radio, even, I guess, go to radio days. Those are all an escape. Those are all living vicariously. That's what all drama is about, is experiencing lives other people lead, whether they're at a very, you know, human scale sort of soap opera-y, or they're some grand adventure like 24. Television is about escape, and it is about people who've worked all day and they come home and they put their feet up and they watch TV. That's not a new thing. I think that, like I said, it's great. I wish that 2.5 million people were out doing more productive things, and I wish some of them would come and mow my lawn.
You know, what I don't have a list here, and I'm kind of bad at this too, but besides Idol and Dancing with the Stars, what are the big hits? What are typically in the top 10?
Well, CSI is in the top 10 often, and shows like that. CBS has had some successful shows that are sort of mystery thrillers like that, and they're sort of very graphic in terms of the CSI. It's a lot of, you know, body parts and things like that, which I find really amazing that especially older audiences seem to love those shows. We used to have Law and Order was a top 10 show, although that show's now been on 17 years, and I think it's just it's just past its prime.
Yeah, there's like seven different Law and Orders now.
Well, that's right. I mean, that's the other mistake, and it's a structural TV mistake. I just wanted to get the top 10 shows for you on the screen here. Number one and number two are American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is Grey's Anatomy.
Ah.
Number four is House, which is a medical show on Fox.
Which follows
American Idol.
I just heard that. Yeah.
And I believe this week House equaled American Idol in mm-hmm. ratings. Number five is CSI. Number six, Dancing with the Stars, Monday show. Number seven, CSI Miami, which is another example mm-hmm. of shows. Number eight is Desperate Housewives. Number nine is Dancing with the Stars, Tuesday results show. And number 10 is Without a Trace on CBS. The CBS shows, those CSIs and then Without a Trace, those shows tend to bring in a much older audience than shows like American Idol.
Yeah. Let me take our weather break, and then we'll take more calls for Tim Kaprisen, media columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're wondering if you're still watching TV or not, or if you're recording your favorite TV shows and watching them when you want to watch them. Lots of people wondering where all the viewers are going. 2.5 million fewer people, according to the latest Nielsen ratings, watching TV this spring than last spring. 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock. Coming up after 7, we are going to talk with a couple of different guests about our obsession with looking tan. Maybe we're actually getting a suntan. Maybe we're using a product to get an artificial tan. We're going to talk about the culture and safety of suntanning coming up after 7. We're talking about TV viewing and why the TV ratings for the biggest four networks are down for this spring compared to last spring, down by 2.5 million people. Bob and Nina is our next caller for Tim Caprison. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
As an older viewer, and I'm also an analytical by nature, I will tape my CSI programs and other comparable programs. And I'll tell you, I've never watched Idol, and I've never watched Survivor. I have absolutely no use for those programs. They're just idiotic programs as far as I'm concerned. They serve absolutely no purpose, in my view. So,
yeah, and CSI is, you like it because?
Well, like I said, I'm an analytical by nature, and I like to play the detective. Sherlock Holmes, of course, is one of my number one characters.
Yeah, but you tape or record the shows and watch them when you want to. You don't watch them when they're on.
Well, I'll catch them a little bit when they're on also, but I like to, skip the commercials. And that's the primary reason why I tape them, because I can, I can go right through the commercials. And then I'll sit down and analyze the programs and figure out who done it.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Bob, for the call. Bob's been not alone in not wanting to sit through the commercials, Tim Caprison.
Right. I mean, I don't want to sit through the commercials myself. I don't when I don't have to. The question is, the whole purpose, ultimately, the cynical purpose of entertainment programming is only to wrap around the commercials. I mean, they wouldn't exist if there weren't commercials in the model that we have today. So, I do wonder what is going to be done on the part of the networks and the advertising industry to prevent us from skipping commercials. Part of it is there are, if you ever look at television shows online on the network's websites or in other places, there's an embedded commercial that you can't fast forward through. And there may be some technology that allows them to do that forces you to watch the commercials. And, from the point of view of the fact that you're getting free programming, or they're giving you the shows free and they're expensive shows, I understand that. As a viewer, obviously, I don't want to watch commercials.
Yeah. Didn't TiVo have some sort of forced commercial watching for a while and got rid of it?
Well, I don't have TiVo. Yeah. I have a cable DVR, but my understanding is that TiVo originally allowed you to skip commercials completely, and that function was taken off. You can still fast forward over them.
I see.
But this was some sort of technology that allowed you to just skip the commercials. I mean, as it is now, it's like a VCR. You have to fast forward and actually, see a snippet of the commercial as you're going by it.
So, there could be some concern here if we're recording and somehow the advertisers don't think that they're getting their money's worth by sponsoring, paying for ads in these TV shows, we might end up with even crummier TV shows.
Well, that's right. Interestingly, next week is what's called the network upfronts. It's when the networks and the ad buyers and the ad industry the networks reveal their lineups, and they have presentations in New York City where they show either full episodes or snippets of what's coming. And one of the issues there in the upfronts is that a lot of advertising, network advertising, is bought literally up front. They buy it at the beginning of the season, and it's a gamble on shows that are going to be successful. And the question is, how do you restructure those buys How does the network get money out of the advertisers for the TiVo'd versions of their shows? Shows that may be watched again, and as I said, advertisers are trying to work in, you know, either graphics or things that allow them to get their message across as you're fast forwarding over it. So it's within the industry. Obviously, this is a huge debate, and this stuff is changing so quickly that I don't think anyone can predict what's gonna, you know, how it's gonna come out.
Next, we go to Ann in Campbellsport. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Well, I guess I'm being kind of repetitive, but I actually think the quality of the TV shows are better than ever, but it is the commercials. For instance, last night I watched The Office, and during the commercial time, I got all of my dishes washed, a load of laundry done. they're just too long, and as a consequence, I use Netflix, and I get movies and watch more movies, and some of the TV shows, like Lost, I get that series, because I just can't tolerate those commercials.
Because who wants to do the dishes?
No. Right.
Well, you know, that's actually, there's another sort of urban myth out there that there are more commercials than there used to be. Generally shows, the content of shows, a half-hour show like The Office is about 22 minutes long, and it's been that way pretty consistently for a while. There are some variations in that. But generally, it's not any worse than it was before. It's just that I think we're noticing them more.
Yeah. I recall that they would have these commercials that some of the commercials seem like they're longer in length rather than 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go to watch online, if you would go to the computer to watch online, you said there's a forced commercial
right,
that you have
right.
to watch? Or is that the only forced commercial you have to watch? Or I mean, would you get fewer commercials if you're watching online?
Generally, yeah. Well, I don't watch much online, but the ones that I've watched, there's generally a 15-second commercial at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to watch that. You can't fast forward over it. And then the programming starts. So, yeah, I mean, I think that there'll be less programming or less commercials, but you'd have to definitely watch them.
Yeah. Thanks, Ann. Randy and Ripon is with us now. Hi, Randy.
Good morning. I'm 50 years old, so I still catch the nightly news occasionally. And I was just going to say, probably one of my favorite programs, although I guess I have to say I rented this on DVD, is Weeds. That's on Showtime. And the only thing I find that on network TV that comes close is being well written would be Lost, although they almost lost me when they held the season back until February. I don't know what they were thinking there, but those are my favorite programs anyways. I don't know.
Yeah, Weeds is about some pot smokers or something.
It's a mother that becomes a pot dealer. Her husband dies and she needs to pay the bills. So.
Yeah. Do we know, Tim, if a lot of the network viewers are, you know, they want to see Sopranos and Weeds and these types of things on pay TV?
Well, I mean, the numbers are relatively mm-hmm. small. I mean, that 2.5 million people who didn't watch TV, that's generally the mm-hmm. audience for a really well-rated Showtime show. I mean,
mm-hmm.
the numbers are not huge, whereas a network show would be 16 million for a successful network show, just off the top of my head. But it's an interesting audience. It's an upscale audience. It's an audience that's looking for good television and they're willing to pay for it, which is a whole different model than what you're getting over, you know, network television. I remember about 5 or 6 years ago, the head of NBC was talking about looking at the Sopranos as a model. How do we do this? How do we make the Sopranos work on the network? And the problem is that they can't, because they have to do. There's so many potential landmines in an edgy show. I mean, I don't know that I can imagine a regular broadcast network show about a suburban mother, single mother, who is also a drug dealer.
Yeah.
And it's a comedy. So
I don't think so.
I don't think
so. Paul in Duluth. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'll tell you, what pretty well drove me away from over-the-air television, when I moved here to Duluth a little over 6 years ago, I didn't have cable access. So I went with satellite, and for me to have satellite broadcast local networks, they want more money for that. And I said, no way. I mean, I can still pick them up over the air, but it's not very good quality.
Yeah.
That's one of the things. I'm also a news junkie, and I've found my salvation in C-SPAN. And
there's excitement for you, Paul.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to make up for lost time. I'm retired now, and when I was working, I didn't have time to pay attention to politics.
You know, we have less than a minute, Tim, for a last word.
One thing I want to say, I'm very happy that we didn't get any calls from someone saying, you know, I don't have a television.
We used to.
I know. Every time I was on, I would have somebody call up. And so I'm happy to hear that public radio viewers actually are watching TV now.
That's right.
But anyway, the bottom line is that I think it's important to understand that we're in an amazing transition, whether it's network TV or radio or newspapers or whatever, in how we get both entertainment and information. And this is, I think, a symptom of that bigger shift. And it's partly technological and it's partly a lifestyle shift.
Yeah, it's a new world. So thanks very much, Tim. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks.
Tim Kaprisin, media columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing the hour and to Leo Duran for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.